Good morning, brothers and sisters. We'll be continuing our series in the book of 1 John, if you want to go ahead and turn there. In 1 John, we read that those who believe in Jesus are called children of God. And as a child imitates and reflects his father, and as humans were created to image their God, we, through Christ, can and should reflect our Father. And so today we'll learn that God is light. And as his children, we should reflect that and walk in the light. Last SGA Chapel, we briefly talked about the first four verses in the book of 1 John, how John uses these verses to introduce us to a message. This message comes from the Father and is delivered to John and the other disciples through Jesus Christ. And then John and the other disciples spread this message. And verses 3 and 4 tell us that when we accept and believe this message, when we live out this message, we have fellowship with God and with other believers, and our joy is complete. And so today we'll begin in the following passage in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. And we begin to get the content of this message. Verse 5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is the best news ever. But it's also damning for you and me, because in him is no darkness at all, and you and I are, of course, very dark people. But John is writing to believers who have put their faith in Christ as the bridge between a God who is light and their own darkness. And most of us here today are in that same boat. And so as God is light, we are called to imitate our Father who is light. That is who we are, brothers and sisters. But my fear is that sometimes we forget that, or we don't fully see the beauty of the light, and we don't walk in the light. But John is writing to believers to remind them of the contrast between who they were apart from Christ and then who God is, and the implications that has for our everyday lives. And so our main idea of the message today is that true faith in Christ as the bridge between God's light and our darkness leads us to fellowship with him and leads us to confess our sins. True faith in Christ as the bridge between God's light and our own darkness leads us to fellowship with him and others and to confess our sins. So let's read this passage together. First John 1, verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. And as we open up your word, I pray that your spirit would help us to recognize the truth in your word, to welcome your truth, to see it as true, as good, as beautiful. And I pray that we would submit to it and respond in obedience. You, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Our lives and our mouths make a claim about what we believe about reality. And John directly confronts that in this passage today. These verses can be a little confusing, so I'm going to try to do my best to explain briefly what's going on here so that that can lay the foundation for the main points that we see so that we can understand what this means and how this applies to us. So first of all, this letter is written to believers. And I think that these next few verses, these verses that we just read, apply primarily to those who have faith in Christ. When we recognize that God is light and we recognize our darkness and put our faith in Christ, Christ removes the barrier between us and God. We have fellowship with him and our joy is complete because we know the only one who offers joy. That is our standing. That is who we are. We are justified before God and we have peace with him. However, right now, we are also in the process of becoming who we are in Christ. We have been declared righteous before God. We're righteous in his sight, but sometimes in this process of sanctification, we still sin. If our confession, our way of life, is one where we acknowledge our sin and confess it, Jesus Christ forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. However, if someone claims to have no sin, he is deceiving himself and living as though God were a liar. The person described in verse 10 is calling God a liar because they are not living consistently with the fact that God is light. If you turn on the news today, you'll see and hear many horrible things. But what's going on in here is far worse and far more serious than anything going on out there. Some of us are living in a way that says that God is a liar. Our first main point today is that God is light and does not tolerate darkness. But what is John saying when he says God is light? Well, this image of light is fairly popular throughout the Bible, and I think that John is going after two things here. First of all, we see that light is pure. And so light symbolizes the righteousness of God. But we also know that light reveals. Light exposes darkness. I love Psalm 36, verse 9. It says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. And we also know that Jesus has come as the light of the world, and he is the witness to the Father. And so I think in the context here of 1 John, light and darkness helps illustrate holiness and sinfulness. God is holy, and his light reveals our sinfulness. And one way that this applies to us is that I often see in my own heart and in the hearts of so many on campus a complacency with little sins. But friends, there is no little sin. We cannot be in fellowship with him if we're okay with sin. Think about it. If the standard is light, any absence of light results in darkness, which of course is not okay. And that's because there is no darkness in him. We would be consumed. We'd be destroyed by his light. Think about it. Light and darkness cannot coexist. When I was younger, this is pretty silly, but I wanted to fly into the sun. And I don't know what I was thinking. I'd just get into a spaceship and like touch it or fly into it, but apparently that's not possible. I tried it. I'm kidding, but think about it. The sun would destroy me. And I dare you, the next time you're outside and the sun is shining, look straight into the sun. You're not gonna last very long. But guys, let that be a reminder to you that as much as we can't even look at the sun for more than a second, if we were in the presence of God, we would be consumed. We would be destroyed by the God who is light. But the beautiful implication, the beautiful truth in this passage is that Christ is the bridge between a dark people and a God who is light. And we need to understand this, friends. This is the message of the gospel, a God who creates humans. They rebel, they sin against him, and therefore live in darkness and can never approach the light. But God comes down to us. Most of us say we believe this, but then I think we have the tendency to move past this truth, to move on from the gospel. But this truth affects our lives every day. And this is what John is getting at. He proclaims the message that God is light and in him there is no darkness. And then he goes on to list some implications about how this applies to believers. And that brings us to our second main point. In verses 6 and 7, we see that we can either walk in darkness or fellowship in the light with Christ and other believers. Now, walking is a way of life that is consistent with our standing as believers, as God's children. It's recognizing what's true of God and what's true of myself as his child, and then living consistently with that. 1 John 2, verse 6 further helps us understand what this means. It says, whoever says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So walking, especially walking in the light, refers to a lifestyle or a way of life that is consistent with the way that Christ lived. And this, of course, contrasts with walking in darkness. We already talked about the fact that darkness and light cannot coexist. So if God is light and we're walking in darkness, but we say we have fellowship with him, we're lying. It'd be kind of like this. Imagine all the lights in this room were off, and there's just one spotlight trained here on the middle of the stage, and this light represents God. Now, obviously, to have fellowship with God, I would have to be standing, walking in this light. But if I'm over here, I'm walking, and remember, the rest of the room is dark. If I'm walking around in darkness, but I say I have fellowship with God, clearly I'm lying. But then the other response is to walk in the light. Step into that light, and through walking in the light, then we have fellowship with God who is light and with other believers. Now, fellowship, what does this word mean? I think there are two main meanings that John is trying to communicate here. First of all, we talk a lot about community here at Cedarville. And this idea of community, of communion with one another, knowing one another and being known, is a really helpful idea. But I think there's more to it than that. This word also carries the idea of having a common goal, a common purpose. Think about how this fits into the context of the first few verses in 1 John. There's this truth about who God is, that he's light. And that dramatically alters our perception of the world. So Jesus, the Son of God, reveals the Father to his disciples who then spread this message. And if we believe the truth of the gospel, we not only know our Creator, our God, we not only then know other believers, but we join in on the mission of proclaiming this truth, proclaiming the truth that God is light to a world that is marred by darkness. And when I think of this, I think of that classic story, The Lord of the Rings, and especially The Fellowship of the Ring, the first book or the first movie. Now think of this fellowship. They set out together, and yes, they get separated, but isn't it so beautiful to watch the relationship between Frodo and Sam develop throughout the story? See, they grow this deep bond of friendship. But they're not there just hanging out, having fun with each other, getting to know each other. They're also on a mission to destroy the ring and to save Middle Earth. And I think that demonstrates these two ideas of fellowship. We develop these deep biblical friendships, but we're also on a mission together. And I was talking to Zoe and Nair earlier this week. They're two freshmen that have just started here at Cedarville. And they reminded me about what a transition it is to come to Cedarville. And a lot of you are in that situation right now, some of you are visiting Cedarville today. But think about what a transition it would be to go to a public school and then now show up at Cedarville. And it's so different, and that's not because we're special, but it's because we have fellowship as believers. We care for one another. We should care for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're not just here at Cedarville to get to know each other and enjoy one another's company. We're also together pursuing Christ. We should be striving to know the God who created us and to make him known to a world that so desperately needs to know the light. I was reminded this morning when I was reading in Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." So brothers and sisters, walk in the light yourself and point to the light and experience and help build this fellowship that we were meant to have as believers. And I think one thing this means for us at Cedarville, one way we need to improve is being vulnerable with one another. Think about it. We don't go to a hospital just to pretend that we're well. But that's kind of what we're doing if we recognize that God is light, but still pretend that we don't have darkness. So in a place like Cedarville, it should be natural for me when I sin to ask you for forgiveness. And it should be natural for you to extend that forgiveness because both of us have been forgiven by the God who is light. And he has broken that barrier that hinders our fellowship. So we have to recognize our own tendency to sin, but also that of our brothers and sisters so that we can fight for them, so that we can keep them accountable when they're struggling. And that's true whether or not someone is a D group leader or an RA or even a chaplain. Sometimes I think that people have the tendency to think that the SGA chaplain is super spiritual or something. And I know I've had that perception sometimes in years past. But friends, I, like you, am a sinner. But I'm a sinner that has seen the light of God through Christ and by his grace am walking in the light. And the beautiful thing about that is as we walk in the light together, we are cleansed to become more like the person of Christ, to become more like the person we are in Christ. And so the call here is not, you should be perfect, and when you sin, you should hide it or pretend it didn't happen. No, we walk in the light, and when we sin, we confess it. And as we walk in the light, we become more like Christ. And that's why this third point is so important. Our third point is that we can deny or confess our sin. Do you see the connection here? Look in this passage. Someone who denies that they have sin is not living consistently with the fact that God is light. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If I'm doing this, I'm not living consistently with what I have put my faith in. I have acknowledged before God that I am a sinner, and I need Christ to be declared righteous before God, and I need Christ in the Spirit to sanctify me. And so if I sin and deny it, that doesn't align with what I have confessed as a Christian. So how does a believer respond when he sins? Well, I went to a Cedarville soccer game this past weekend, and Cedarville won 4-0, which is pretty impressive. Go Jackets. Stay numb. But I think if I remember correctly, one of those goals was an own goal by the other team. This team on the other player, he was trying to defend his own goal, but he accidentally deflected the shot and kicked the ball into his own goal. What do you think he did? Did he get up and then act like he was on Cedarville's team? Did he switch teams and start playing for Cedarville? No, that would be silly and probably the end of his soccer career. But he got up, he apologized to his teammates, and he kept on fighting. He wanted to win that game. And that's a good picture for us today, because we will score an own goal. We will sin. We do sin. But don't continue in darkness. Don't act like it didn't happen. That would be way more foolish than a soccer player scoring an own goal and then just deciding to switch teams and act like he was on the other team. But our natural tendency when we sin is to hide. I was reading in Genesis the other day, and after Adam and Eve sinned in chapter 3, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And in some ways, that kind of makes sense, because it's terrifying to sin against God. But as a believer walking in the light, we don't deny our sin. We don't run away, because as chapter 2, verse 1 says, Christ is our advocate before the Father. And because of that, we don't need to cover our sin. We don't need to cower or hide in shame. We confess our sins. And the beautiful promise here is that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we need to be walking in the light, because if we're walking in darkness and we sin, it's going to be really hard to see it. Let's go back to that spotlight illustration. If that's the only light in the room and I'm walking around in darkness, it's going to be really hard for me to see my own darkness. But if I'm here walking in the light of God exposes my darkness. And then we confess it. And the promise is that Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean that he's faithful? It means he'll do it every time you sin. Friends, that's amazing. That is a wonderful truth. That is better than a vending machine. And what I mean by that is that every time you put money into a vending machine, you expect to get your snack or your drink out, right? Well, I grew up in Germany. I don't know if the vending machines in Germany aren't as good, But it seemed like about half the time I would put money in the vending machine and the machine would either eat my money or that spinny metal thing would spin and the snack would get stuck in the vending machine. So the point is I would pay money and not get anything in return. But that's not how forgiveness works. Christ is faithful, reliable, trustworthy every single time. And he's also just. What that means is that when you sin and you're in Christ, God does not look at you and see your own unrighteousness. He looks at you and sees Christ's righteousness. Christ, who is the propitiation, the payment for your sin. And so believe this promise. Because as a believer, when you sin, the devil will tempt you. He might start you to doubt your salvation, or he might get you to think that you can't approach God. So cling to the promise that because of Christ, you can. And confess to others. This is why we need close bonds of friendship. We need to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters so that we can confess our sin and we can fight together and walk in the light together. When we sin, we need to agree that sin does not align with who God is and who we are in Christ and my standing before him. So therefore, we confess our sins. And this is difficult. I know. It's discouraging. But brothers and sisters, do you want real joy? Or do you want the fake, disgusting pleasure that sin brings? And there's hope. There's hope as we try to walk in the light. Think about 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, John writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." So take comfort in the fact that you are fighting sin, but one day we shall be like Christ. And then the next verse challenges us to that those who hope in him in that way purify themselves as he is pure. And we purify ourselves by looking at the light, by walking in the light, and by confessing sin that does not belong in the light. And we help our brothers and sisters do the same while we walk together in fellowship. So you may have unconfessed sin in your life right now. You may be struggling with a pattern of sin. You need to talk to someone, a friend, an RA, a D group leader, and walk in the light and fight sin. Make sure you do that. So as we're ending today and as the band is coming up, take a few moments to silently reflect on and confess God is light and confess any sin to God and then believe in the promise that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from unrighteousness. And then we'll close out the service by singing a few more songs together.